It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is David Cohn. The Michael K. Show starts now. Don't screw it up, boys.
Thank you, Coney, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Friday, January 14th, 2022. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that's your responsibility. The other 48 during the weekend, that's your responsibility, but we got a lot to do today.
Oh, yeah.
This is a big football Friday.
Oh, yeah. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
This is wild card weekend, Peter.
Yeah, I know. It's I'm not saying it's not like when I'm like fully into March Madness, I'm not saying it's as great as like week one of the tournament, but it's right there. It might be. It's such a great weekend.
I think it's better.
Yeah, I mean, it is true. I do love an NFL game. You're more invested.
Right. Literally.
There, in games that we have nothing to truly be invested in, you're invested. You're invested in, will Bill Belichick, as an underdog, beat the Bills, right? After losing the division of the Bills, that's a fascinating game. By the way, it's taking place in the Bill Belichick money slot, Michael.
What do you mean?
That Saturday night will always remind me of the Patriots-Raiders classic tuck rule moment.
Oh, I see what you're doing there, yeah.
Yeah, that's that Saturday night big-time freezing game vibe. And then I'm one of the only people who appears to be fascinated in the Eagles-Bucks game. I think the Eagles are going to be surprising.
Hey,
I love this guy.
Thank you.
I'm fascinated by it for a bunch of reasons, but the biggest one is that it's going to be a monsoon there. So does that change? I really thought about and possibly will take this game. Pick 'em.
I mean, of all the six games, we were talking about this before we went on the air. The one that I'm most intrigued with is the one that Peter mentioned. You know, it's got everything that you want. I feel like Stefan on SNL. It's got everything. It's 0 degrees at kickoff. 0 degrees at kickoff. It's going to be one of the coldest games on record. So will Bill Belichick be able to pull it off? Will Mac Jones throw more than three passes? Josh Allen on ESPN.com, I found out that he's terrible in cold weather. Did you know that?
Well, we saw it.
He has the second worst completion percentage in freezing game temperatures over the past 15 seasons. Just 50%. So he's going to be tested. You know, he's Buffalo's quarterback. Unless there's real global warming, he's going to have to deal with this the rest of his career. Unless they get a dome. I don't think they're getting a dome.
No. Although there's a place that should. It's there. But I think they like the whole atmosphere of the cold weather and the, what do they call that, the lake effect snow and all that garbage. But I don't want to sound like an NFL shill, but I think every one of these games has something intriguing about it. And really, the only one that seems like a slam dunk is Kansas City, just whether they'll be able to cover or not. But it's still Ben's last game in Pittsburgh. You know, it's so if that's the dog of the bunch, guys, that's a pretty good slate of games.
Well, I would say from an audience standpoint, Raiders, Bengals, you know, they put them in the trash slot.
They did, but the Raiders have a huge fan base. They've been an intriguing story all year long.
True.
Everybody's been on a Cincinnati bandwagon with a quarterback that might be the next great quarterback in this sport.
True.
So I get
it's not bad.
Cincinnati's not attractive to people, but they're still a very good team with a quarterback that could be the next generation's great quarterback. And the Raiders have fans everywhere.
How about this stat about Joe Burrow? I mean, again, ESPN.com, shilling for the company, has an unbelievable breakdown of all six games, and they have little nuggets that they throw out there. I bet you didn't hear this one. Joe Burrow's been sacked 51 times. In the history of the NFL during the Super Bowl era, 54 quarterbacks have been sacked 50 or more times in a season. None of them have ever even made the Super Bowl, let alone won it. And you've got Crosby and Ngakoue. They're going to be all over Joe Burrow. I think that's a fascinating aspect of this game. I look at these six games, guys, and I don't really have a clue at 3:05 who I'm picking. I don't feel strong about any of them.
I don't think you can – like I said, the only games where you feel like very comfortable winning the game outright are Chiefs and Bucks. But the numbers, 8.5 is what I saw that the Eagles are getting, and 12.5 for the Steelers, you take pause. Will those games be blowout? Will the weather affect the game in Tampa? Will Kansas City's lack of covering big spreads and you know, Ben playing in his last game representing the Steelers make this a one-possession game? Will it make it a close game? That's what makes it so much fun from our pick standpoint. But it's also just fun because, hey, if the Steelers – you think about 12.5 is a big number, right? But if there's a possibility the Chiefs don't cover, it means it's a game. Right? Oh, yeah. It means that Pittsburgh's hanging around, and Pittsburgh could still win the game. Same thing with Philadelphia. It's 8.5. So if the Bucs aren't covering, it's a one-possession game.
There's a lot going on here. And I know everyone I like in every game. I feel I'm not wavering on which team I would take in any game.
Now, wait a minute. You think the Eagles are going to beat the Bucs? You've been playing Eagles all – I mean, I could see you taking the 8.5.
No, no, no.
You think the Eagles are going to win?
Well, I didn't say that. Okay. Although I wish they were a little better than +300 on the money line. I wish they were like +500 on the money line.
Look, I'll get behind anything.
They stink. Sorry, Andrew.
What I'm saying is I know who I'm picking in each game. But I've been so bad with point allocation.
Right.
You know?
Allocation.
Yeah, and so that's where it gets tough. Although I wish we could turn on the picks right now and just talk about our picks. I hate keeping it a secret for 2.5 hours. I want to say what my thoughts are right now, and I feel like I'll show my hand.
That's all right. Let people try to figure it out. That's the fun of this, Peter. Don't you realize this is the fun of it? Right.
I'm not worried about the people. I'm worried about you, you snake.
You can be playing
like, I'm going to be stealing the picks of the guy in last place. No,
yeah,
thank you.
It's more of a benefit to you to know.
Yeah, you
no,
want to
no,
know
what are you talking
doing?
About? Michael could just play keep away.
I don't have that big of a lead.
Right.
It doesn't
I mean,
matter.
He's got me to concern about, too. You can't play keep away from – you can't play four corners with both of us.
True.
The game has been designed that it's impossible to play four corners. You just can't.
You can't.
Stop being a baby.
You could get at the Super Bowl.
Right.
When it's one game and then you know going against the other one is going to do some damage, but we're too early in it. So let's speak freely.
Okay.
We'll get our pick. I haven't even sent mine in yet, but we'll get it in before 5:45. But
I can't send mine in. I don't have them.
Okay, well, that's fine.
And by the way,
make sure you have them by 5:45.
Fast forward to 5:45. I like too many games. I don't know how I'm going to narrow it down to three.
Right. Well, just if you want, Peter, between me and you, just you and me listening, if you want to know what Michael's doing, listen to his questions to Mike Tannenbaum.
No, I try to get a little nugget out of Tannenbaum.
Yeah, I think we all do.
But
I
mean, he doesn't give me.
I might. Yeah, he didn't work for Peter.
Right, he doesn't play your reindeer games, though.
Right.
And he's not into picks.
He is into picks. No, he picks with Anita on Sunday. He makes picks.
Whenever
he
asks,
he knows what
year,
you're doing.
The one time
playing.
That he was bad, you picked him. And boy, did that cost you.
But it's not that. It's the sound. It's when you ask him, it's like he's not thinking about games in that way.
Well, he's a GM. I mean, I'm sure he didn't bet games when he was a GM.
No.
So he's kind of looking through a different prism now.
It's the vernacular. When he hears in his football ear, who do you like Sunday, he's thinking about what game are you going to enjoy the most.
Well, I'll nail him down with spreads then.
Right. Well, that's what you got to do. You've got to be specific.
Now let's bring in Andrew for a moment. Andrew, how do you think the Eagles, do they benefit from bad weather or monsoon, as Don said?
Do the Eagles benefit?
Yeah.
You're asking? Well, yes, I would say so. because typically in any situation, I would say really bad weather favors the underdog because weather is the great equalizer. And especially the Eagles because, I mean, what happens in bad weather? It becomes harder to throw. The Eagles don't really rely on their passing game. They're the best, right, literally the number one rushing offense in football. So, I mean, I still think the Bucs will win, but I don't see it as a blowout. I think the Eagles will keep it close.
Eagles average 6 yards per carry, and the Bucs have given up 4.6 yards a pop. So that's the opening for the Eagles to try to get this done.
So just by those numbers, then Eagles should just run every play.
Correct. Yeah. Well, like
because with three
downs, the Patriots do it.
Right. I mean, that could be a way to do it, especially if the weather is going to be bad.
And the more you run, Don, the more the ball is kept out of the hand of Tom Brady.
That's right. Which is ultimately the best defense, right? I mean, everybody talks so much about Belichick's game plan in Super Bowl 25 and holding Kelly to 19 points and the Buffalo Bills. Well, part of that was that the Giants didn't give him the ball. They only had the ball for 19 minutes.
So you're saying that the offensive game plan of the Giants should have been.
Well, I think Bill Parcells would 100% agree that, and as much as I'm a Bill guy, and I loved him as my defensive coordinator, I think he's one of the great coaches in the history of sports, period. It is a joke that game plan is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, because they score a point a minute, right?
They averaged a point a minute. Now, it did slow them down. I'm not saying that the Giants didn't do well defensively, and they held them to a 47-yard field goal attempt instead of a chip shot field goal to win the game. But to say it's in the Hall of Fame means it's the greatest game plan in the history of football. Believe me, if the Bills had 30 minutes of with the ball, they would have won the game.
There's a world in which I can picture, like the Bucs are not winning the Super Bowl this year. They're not.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
For some reason, I can just picture Brady in his mindset. If I'm not going to win the Super Bowl anyway, I'm done. I could see the game getting, for some reason, going the wrong way, and Brady's just slamming his helmet on the ground, and they're eliminated in the first round. I don't know why, but for some reason this year, there's an energy around them. I can picture that happening.
Oh, yeah, I'm taking the Bucs. That's all there is to it.
Pick them. I agree. I've not been a Buck guy all year as far as them winning it again. But I'm with you, Peter. It's such an intriguing game that if the Bucs win it again, they didn't cover till they got to the Super Bowl last year. Are they as good as they were last year? Brady is, but is the rest of the team as good as they were last year? But if not the Bucs, who? That's what just is so intriguing. Who? Because it would suggest it's a Tennessee Packer Super Bowl, right? Because those are the two teams with the bye. I wouldn't feel comfortable saying that. Everybody loves the Cowboys. Mike Tannenbaum loves the Cowboys because of their defense. But is Dak Prescott, is this the year? The Rams went out and got Matthew Stafford to win the Super Bowl. I'm not even sure they can get beat Arizona. Look, think of the pressure on those two quarterbacks, guys.
I wonder who has the most pressure. I don't think Dak has pressure on him. I think Cowboy fans will put pressure on Dak. I think Matthew Stafford has pressure on himself to prove because he's 0-3 in playoff games. Now, he made him with the Lions, but he's 0-3. He doesn't win big games.
Well, there's obviously pressure on both, but here's the thing with Dak. There's still an unknown about him. What exactly is he? Is he elite quarterback? Is this what he is? Like, you don't know, but they're kind of stuck with him in the sense that this is their quarterback. The Rams went out and got Matthew Stafford, replacing a quarterback that did get them to the Super Bowl. So
they pretty much gave up their future too.
Right, they felt this is the quarterback. We believe this is a better quarterback, and I agree. I think he's better than Goff. But they went out and got him because they believed that this was an upgrade, that this was the quarterback that would lead us to the promised land. So I think there's more pressure on Stafford. He was brought here for this reason, and to get bounced in the wild card weekend at home
would be devastating. And Dak is younger.
But as I said yesterday, though, and I really am curious to hear from Cowboys fans, this is one of those years, you're not guaranteed years like this where you have a really potentially dominant offense, absolute stud young guys on defense who are, potentially generational players. Everyone's healthy at this point. These don't come around that often. It's a lot of pressure on Dak. This team is loaded. And if you're a Cowboys fan and you don't make any movement this year, it's as disappointing to me as any Cowboys lost season in a very long time.
Beautiful shirt you're wearing today, Peter. A cream color, like, pullover. It's beautiful.
Well, it's weird. By the way, I love this shirt, but it's so arbitrary what you decide is good looking.
Listen, like, Don, I'm not deciding for the world. I'm deciding for me. I think it's a beautiful shirt. It's sharp. It looks clean and fresh, and you look, you know, well off and well rested. It's beautiful.
Well off and well rested. No. A title of my 11th book.
That's a nice combination, right?
Yeah. It's the dream, because too many people are well off but not well rested.
Here's the other question. Who's more likely to lose if both quarterbacks play great? Like, I can't see the Cowboys losing if Prescott plays well. I can't imagine it.
That's a good question.
Because this defense is very good. I don't know what the 49ers are. They're
Rams
a nice story.
Defense is good, too.
I'll tell you what the 49ers are. They're a team that basically plays well every week.
And a really good coach.
They don't have – if you look at their schedule – You don't really see them lay the egg. You know,
if you needed a game to win for your life, Peter, I think you'd want Shanahan coaching rather than McCarthy.
That's fair also. But to Don's point, I hear you. Here's the thing. Cowboys offense plays great. They're winning and covering. And I'll probably end up picking them today and probably lose them again. But whereas Stafford could play a great game, a borderline dominant game, and they're up against a team where they could still lose 34-31. So
I have a Cowboys stat for you, Peter.
Go ahead.
10-3 against the spread as a favorite this year.
I know.
6-3 against the spread against teams with winning records.
What? Right.
Yeah, none of that helps me.
Why not?
Because he's one of the three.
I know. Every time.
Holy crap.
I bet them 7 times. Four of the times they didn't cover, and that was the only 4 times they didn't cover all year.
That's sad.
It's what I get for picking my mortal enemy.
This Cardinal team, though, that's you get a factor in the opponent, too. Like, I like this Cardinal team more than the 49er team, especially on the road.
Yeah, and I agree. Me too.
Pick them! And they beat the Rams earlier this year when Kyler Murray played well. So if he stays mistake-free, I don't think this Cardinal team is going to go far. But in the matchup standpoint, I'm liking this Cardinal team.
Oh, someone's tipping his hand.
If we get pushes, we get pushes. More so than the 49er team. We're just talking in segments here, Michael.
Generalities.
There's a lot of other games, too. There's 6 games total. I only have to pick half of them.
You know, if we really wanted to swing it around, we'd have to pick all 6 games and 6
I would like
points.
To do it. I'd love it. I would so love it. Wow. Oh, seriously, because you're talking about swing. I mean, this would be like, you know, double jeopardy. This would be where the points really change here. It's the postseason.
I said yesterday, Donnie, that I don't listen back in tapes and things like that.
Yeah.
But I did listen back to the Minnesota Twins numbers guessing yesterday. And after you said Al Kaline, you said on the air, I just lost the money.
Well, first of all, you didn't listen back.
I did.
You don't even know how to.
I
that was tweeted out by a few people. You did not listen back.
I did.
Honest.
I know. I don't
don't
listen
lie
to the
me.
Podcast. I'm
don't
I'm
lie.
Not
you
lying.
Did, never, ever, ever.
I'm not.
Have you
lying.
Listened to the podcast of this show? I never have.
I did. I listened to that segment,
Peter. I'd believe it if it wasn't tweeted out.
All right, so
whatever.
It was tweeted
I'm not.
Out,
I'm not expecting the money. All I wanted was a little respect for doing well.
You also wanted a hundy, and you're not getting it.
Well, you made that clear, but I don't need the hundy. I just wanted some respect.
I'm sorry that I'm passionate.
You couldn't get the guy from Jersey, though. What kind of respect do you want? Couldn't get Tom Kelly.
Jabroni Pumpleduck.
And don't say, and the way you say so dismissively, oh, he's a manager. Well, Casey Stengel's retired for both teams in New York. Billy Martin,
I didn't dismiss the job of manager.
Wait, no. Don, don't even answer this. Don, stop. Don, did you name 5?
Yes.
So are you defending yourself at someone who's attacking you for not getting 8, which
well,
wasn't the ask?
Well, he's attacking
ask.
Me
don't
for
even
being a
word.
Moron for saying Al Kaline, which was a mistake, but also that I dismissed manager. I didn't dismiss Tom Kelly. I didn't dismiss manager. It's just that when you say retired numbers, you don't think about managers.
That's a Don issue then.
No, yeah. That's what we're talking about, right?
number one, number six, number 37 with the Yankees.
Pete, let me talk to you because you're the
go ahead,
plaques,
of the
plaques people and, I can speak and to. I mean monuments from Miller Huggins.
Do managers jump out when you're talking about retired numbers in
of
any
course
sport?
Not.
Really?
They don't.
Because
oh,
it's
who
fugazi.
You think of first.
No, because I'm going to tell you why it's absolutely fugazi. Because it's one of the most ridiculous things in sports is the fact that these elderly men wear uniforms. It's so silly. It's like Halloween, really. And I know because they're technically the only they're allowed on the field to make pitching changes, but really. So Al Arbor's can't have a number retired because he didn't have a number as coach of the Islanders, so they just put his name up in the rafters. So it but baseball, because you gotta be a little silly Halloween contest, that they get numbers and they get retired. So yeah, no, you know what? I'm doubling down now. Yeah, I completely disrespect managers' numbers being retired. Completely, because it can't be done in other sports.
It's silly.
It is completely silly. Wear a suit, all right? Be Connie Mack. Show me something. Sitting there, put a little baseball cap on.
Pretending like you're a weird old man player. It's strange.
And then Buck defies it, you know, and I love it, but because Buck's trying to be a grown-up and throw
I love
the jacket
baseball.
On, even though it's 107 degrees outside, so you don't even see what number he's wearing.
Very
it, really, when you really think about it,
very
it's childish and babyish and clown show. It really is. If it wasn't baseball.
It's
believe me, if Mike Peter, can you imagine what Michael would say? If you saw like a hockey coach wearing a jersey, Mike would be like, "Oh, it's just so minor league
tell
hockey."
Me,
look,
can I stop you for 1 second? Tell me you wouldn't pay unbelievable big money to see Tom Thibodeau in a uniform. Tell me,
no,
that wouldn't be entertaining.
See, and Don, you chose a bad example though. You chose the one sport where it wouldn't look unreasonable.
No, but I'm
hockey
saying
hockey would be no. Michael, you're right. Michael would dog it because he's a bad guy, but but hockey is the one where you could wear a hockey sweater and actually look fine. But to your point, basketball,
Thibodeau with like Stockton short shorts. Tell me that wouldn't be money.
Just tell imagine.
Me you wouldn't like. Tell me you wouldn't like to see Belichick in 0 degree weather with shoulder pads on. Come on,
Red Auerbach,
yeah,
shorts,
yes.
Jersey, cigar.
Yes.
Listen,
Red
I don't know this
ball.
For a fact. But he Red Auerbach probably had like the shoulder hair.
Oh yeah,
right. So if he was sitting there with the Celtic jersey on, and there'd be hair spilling out from either side of the shoulder part of the jersey.
Oh, you say hair on the shoulder, like impish.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know the feeling.
Exactly.
Peter knows the feeling.
Of course I do,
and I'm proud of it too. Very warm.
But could you just imagine Just an elderly Red Auerbach sitting there with a basketball jersey on. Come on.
It's amazing.
Well, remember they used to have the little claymation on CBS, Red on Round Ball? I think he used to wear like a basketball uniform.
By the way, I want to be clear that I'm not like Michael. I'm not proud of my shoulder hair. I do a lot of work to get rid of it.
Why are you worried about my arm hair, you weirdo?
What work do you do?
I got a this year I got a new item. It's like it's a back shaver thing that has like three separate razor blades on it. And you just take the razor blades and kind of scrape it against your back. And it works quite effectively.
Why can't you ask Natalie to help you out?
She has.
Oh, see, that's love to me.
Really, it is.
Listen, Natalie.
Hey, honey, shave my back.
Natalie joins an illustrious list of people in my life who I love. Who have helped me shave my back. Best friends.
Has Ballard ever shaved?
Ex-wives. Ballard has never. No.
Ballard
and I are very close. But as he has described, him and I are not fart bros.
So you guys manscape. You just don't back.
No. See, you know what?
Has Bear helped with this?
Now, Bear needs help himself.
Let's take a brief time out. We've gone off the rails.
Yeah,
well, once again, whenever you like, ever you challenge Don, then Don challenges me as a human being. It's awful. It's awful what's happened with us.
You guys aren't in a great place.
No, we're not. And then he starts ripping Joe Torre. Imagine. And Casey Stengel and Billy Martin. Ripping them.
He didn't rip them.
Oh, he's ripping manager. Well, you ripping Gil Hodges too? Are you?
I'm not ripping any manager. They're doing what they have to. I'm just saying the whole idea of it. Like, baseball is just so, because it's been around for so long and it's our national pastime, they get away with the stupidest things. Where if any other sport tried it, it'd be like, this is ridiculous. But because it's been around for so long, I question everything. And just because it's been around for 150 years doesn't mean I have to like it. It's silly. It's stupid. And if you really break it down, it's one of the dumbest things in sports, period.
I love it.
How about Kendall Wiggins on Twitter? I will give Don a pass because on Sundays he's working doing the Jets. You totally nothing about the Niners. They are the best team in the West, and they will show you this weekend. Team's been rolling for 8 weeks. Kendall, Don hasn't done the Jets for 6 years.
Well, four.
I wanted to hyperbolize.
But by the way, I guarantee you that guy's a Niners fan. Now, yeah, listen, I'll say this.
Yes, I have not watched this Niners as much as a Niner fan.
Yeah, his Twitter photo is a 49ers jersey.
There you go.
Here's the thing. I will say this. I think Don may have misspoke. Maybe he'll disagree. He can defend himself. When he said, I don't know what they are. I think they are a very solid football team. But I understand in saying that you don't feel like you know them as well and know their potential as well as you know Arizona.
But
I hear that.
Let me defend myself. I mean, Garoppolo is not even supposed to be the quarterback of this team, right? They were looking to make a change. I know what they are in the sense of they're a playoff team. I'm not going to deny that. Are they ready to beat the Cowboys? Listen, I'm rooting for the 49ers. You think I want the Cowboys to win as a Giant fan? I'd love the 49ers to beat the Cowboys.
Once again, we have to break. But again, Dave Rothenberg shows that he really is a disturbed human being. Wouldn't root for the Cowboys in a playoff game if his son was the quarterback. He reiterated that today.
Did he really?
Yeah. The Giants have nobody of any blood of Dave Rothenberg on their team. But his son would be the Cowboy quarterback. He wouldn't root for them. Even if they weren't even playing the Giants, he wouldn't root for them.
I got to tell you, he's such a bad, bad man.
He's a bad father.
Sports!
Look, consider that, everybody, and we're gonna towel off.
I don't even have children yet. My unborn children who I've never met, I couldn't be faster, happier to abandon Washington to root for whatever team they quarterback.
I'm the voice, the television voice of the Yankees. And if Charlie pitched for the Red Sox, I'd be a Red Sox fan.
Oh, yeah, head to toe.
And you know what? Hal Steinbrenner would probably understand it.
Yeah, he'd go, it's your kid. We get it. It's not a silly baseball team. No offense.
And Dave wouldn't root for the Cowboys if his son was a quarterback. That's like institutional stuff. Well, you really need to put away.
Man. It's really beyond fun.
No, it's not even funny, Don. You're right. It's serious. It's disturbing where human services should take the kids away.
I mean, I had that opinion when I was a kid.
Yeah, but you're an adult
early
now.
On. I mean, I would joke about it on the air at times, but now that I have a son. My God, I would.
Something's wrong with him.
It's a lot of things. It's not just one thing.
All right. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you, we have a lot of fun in store today. Our picks as well. Mike Tannenbaum, Rick DiPietro will join us today. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Tim and I are not fart bros.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, before we get to the phone calls, I have a fun trivia question for Don and Peter. The NFL just named their first and second team All-Pro teams. One New York football player made one of those teams. Can you tell me who that player is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Don, you know?
Braxton Berrios, special teams.
Ooh.
Nailed it. First team special teamer. How about that? Congratulations, Don.
It's very
Thank
good.
Thank you. Where's the only one would have been Gano on special teams, although he didn't have to do much the last 6 weeks of the year.
Yeah, he's very rested. And he didn't have to do anything at all over the final 2 minutes of the first half.
That is still a stat that will
79-0. I don't think it'll ever be broken.
It is incredible.
Let's have some fun. Let's have some fun with this, shall we?
What do you mean?
I want to throw a few more at Don.
Okay.
All right, Don. All pro list. Okay?
Oh, no.
Who is the first team quarterback?
It's either, can I guess who?
You can both guess.
Rodgers or Brady?
I'll say it was Rodgers.
I'll say Brady.
Rodgers. Who is the first team All-Pro running back? This is easy.
Oh, the Was it Jonathan Taylor?
Yep. There you go.
He was great in Tool time.
Who is the? Well, it's true. He was young then, and then he turned into a pro football player.
Yeah.
What about the first team All Pro tight end? Oh. I wouldn't call it like, oh my God, of course, no brainer this year. But when you think of him, it's not like you'd be surprised. You go, okay, sure.
So Kittle didn't have that sort of year.
No. Nope.
Kelce didn't have that sort of year. Mm-mm. Gronk had a pretty good year.
Mm-mm. It's a name you guys, you both know, but you probably won't guess. Mark Andrews from the Ravens.
Wouldn't have gotten him.
Yeah, really solid player, but it wouldn't jump to your mind. The wide receivers. There are three wide receivers, two of which I believe to be sort of a gimme.
Cooper Kupp.
There you go.
Yeah, definitely.
There's another one that's a gimme. When you think about the year.
Stephon Diggs?
Nope.
How about the kid, Ja'Marr Chase?
Mm-mm.
No. Wow.
When you think of quarterback wide receiver tandems.
Quarterback wide receiver tandems.
Yeah. This quarterback was already mentioned.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. With the Packers.
Davante Adams. Yep.
Yeah, Adams.
Deebo Samuel is the other one.
Excellent. Mm.
By the way, hey, do you remember, Don, do you remember a few years ago when the Washington football team botched it with Trent Williams and just had to get rid of him? Yeah, so all pro left tackle still in San Francisco, just cruising along.
Oh boy.
Everyone else, and by the way, Micah Parsons, there he is, rookie year all pro man, and Trevon Diggs. I'll tell you what, all the things we talk about that
what
are frustrating,
22 interceptions combined,
the fact that Washington and New York, that we're gonna have to deal with this with Parsons and Diggs for the next God knows how long, what, 12 years? Kill me.
Nah, you know what? The effectiveness lifespan of a guy like Diggs might not be that long.
It might not be, but you can stumble into enough. Champ Bailey.
Right.
Could be long enough.
Champ Baileys don't come around all the time.
No, but like, yeah, you could get there's Darrell Revis's who are gone in 10 years, and then there are Champ Baileys and Darryl Green who play 20. Just depends.
Yeah, you just hope that everybody stays healthy, right? Because we said the same thing about Chase Young last year, and then look at what happened this year.
True. Didn't have to deal with him this year.
Have either of you – are you done with your quiz, Petey?
Oh, sure.
Have either – I mean, I see it all the time. I don't know what it is. I know this makes me look like head in the sand. Has anybody played Wordle?
I keep seeing it. I have no idea what it is.
No,
yeah,
I've never
heard
of it.
Seeing it all over, and then people brag about their score constantly on social media.
I don't know.
Bears bragging.
Yeah, Bears into it, but I've never played it. I don't understand what it is. Yeah.
Oh, see?
He's embarrassed. He's ashamed.
You've played it, Anthony?
Yeah, I have.
What is it?
Are you good? And what is it exactly in you know, 20 words or less?
Actually, it's actually a six-letter word. Every day on this website, it was created in the UK. There's
right.
a six-letter word that you have. Sorry, it's a five-letter word. You have six guesses to guess the five-letter word.
So it's like a very short version of Wheel of Fortune without Pat and Vanna.
Pretty much, and the colors you're seeing are whether the letter is right or if it's in the wrong place or if it's not there at all. And I guess it's taken off because it's just so, I don't know, aesthetically pleasing to see on social media.
But well, what's all the numbers then they show you on social media, like 208 over 6? Well, what does that mean?
208 is, I guess it's been around for 208 days.
Right.
And then out of 6 is how many guesses up to 6 you've gotten the word on.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you get 0, X out of 6, you didn't get the word. But anywhere between 1 through 6 is how many. And then all those blocks are what the person got in terms of the green, the yellow, which letters they got right.
You know what we could do is we can, like, do a sports Wordle.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
With sports figures' names or like, team names. Sportle. Yeah, I'll come up with it over the weekend. I'll sit down, one of those visors with, you know, like a green brim.
Nothing makes me feel dumber than, like, I was on vacation with my friend Judd, who's my smartest friend.
What a dumb name, though.
Well,
yeah. Judd Nelson.
Okay. I stand.
You always say, though, that Judd is such a dumb name. Why is
Judd
it so,
Apatow.
Why is it so dumb, though?
I take it back. I shouldn't say dumb. It's really ridiculous for anybody in the Northeast to be named Judd.
Okay, where would
we come from? A farm, I guess you could be named Judd.
A farm?
Yeah.
I have no association. Andrew, do you have any association with the name Judd and a farm?
I kind of see where he's coming from.
Judd on a farm?
A little bit.
It's not Judd.
How many Judds have gone to Cambridge or like even Oxford? Yeah, it just doesn't happen. Judd.
It's not. I think you're showing your. It's interesting. While being judgmental of other people's intelligence, I
like
think you're showing your own lack.
I'm very bright.
But yeah, but this is a misguided take that Judd is.
Again, why do you say that my opinions are misguided? I think the name Judd is questionable.
But Judd questionable is a tremendous actor. Taxi, Independence Day. Judd Apatow is a tremendous comedian.
If it's Judson,
director.
Okay.
It's Judson.
Judson. All right. But then go by Judd.
Well, Judd Nelson was a terrific actor.
I don't think you're helping my friend by the Judd Nelson thing. I think we just let that go. Because he's a kind of a has-been who never was. I mean, he's kind of a nothing.
How dare you?
Come on. This is ridiculous. Both of your takes.
Judd Nelson, you keep going. Using him as the defender, it's not great. I mean, he was so bad in New Jack City, dude. It was borderline. I'm still embarrassed.
Written poorly for him. He was great in Breakfast Club. He's great in St. Elmo's Fire.
True.
Like, I don't even know. No, I don't know what they were thinking. Like, the two, I love New Jack City, but the two things that are irritating are Judd Nelson, like, why him?
Right.
Right. And then when
Ice-T
is talking out on the deck with Wesley Snipes, and he's talking about how he had to smoke somebody to be able to join the gang, and it ended up being Ice-T's mom. Remember that scene?
Oh, of course. That
but
teacher
the thing
you
that
killed?
Irritates me is, oh, yeah, so
that
so
was
the leader
my
of the
mother.
Gang, Jughead. That's the name they came up with? The leader of the gang was Jughead?
Yeah, you're right.
So the writing was poor. It was poorly written for him. It's not his fault. It was just poorly written.
Some French fried potatoes.
Now he was good in St. Elmo's Fire. Breakfast Club is a classic.
All right, wait. We
The Dark
Peter.
Backward is a you very, very you, dark comedy.
You and your friend Judd. Well, go ahead.
Nothing makes me feel dumber than watching Judd on vacation sit around and just knock out New York Times crossword puzzles. I'm sorry, not New York Times crossword. New Yorker crossword puzzles.
Can I be very honest right now, Peter? Yeah. I'm extraordinarily bright. I couldn't do a crossword puzzle on a bet.
Anyone?
I've never done it.
The New Yorker one, dude, he's finishing them.
I could probably do a TV guide one.
That's the best. Well, those are the best ones.
Listen to the way he said it, like he just saw something nude. Oh yeah, that's
no,
best.
It was because my dad used to always do the TV guide crossword. Because
it's so easy, redheaded comedian with her own show, ball.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas the New Yorker one, Michael, they just say like this weird a phrase that you don't even understand what they're trying to say. And you have to interpret. I'm not smart enough. I'm not a bright man.
He could probably also get the four-letter word, two D's at the end, moronic name, and boom, Judd. Anyway, we'll come back. We'll take your phone calls, 1-800-919-3776.
He's J-U-D, by the way. When he's
oh, no, it's not a double D.
Not him. His name's Judson.
I prefer the double D. I don't like the D.
I've always heard you have.
Yeah, I've heard you say that many times.
No, in this instance, I like a Judd and a double D.
That's the answer!
We'll be back with your phone calls right here on ESPN 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, when it's game time, it's telly time, and Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey is best enjoyed with great friends during big games. So for the Knicks' January 20th matchup against the Pelicans, 98.7 ESPN, it's giving away a grand prize VIP reservation for six with food and beverage at Slancha. That's at 304 Bowery in Manhattan. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN. And you'll be one of 10 qualifiers to win a $50 Fanatics gift card and be in the running to score a night out on us. We're going to be selecting our grand prize winner later in today's show. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. Just loved hearing Don the way he talked about a TV guide across. Oh, yeah.
What did he say? That's the one. That's the one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's brought back a lot of memories.
I bet it did. Let's take some phone calls. We've done some talking. Now you get the chance. And we start off with Joshua in Elizabeth. Josh, my man.
Well, hey.
Nah, you're gone. Let's go to Sal in Long Island. Sally.
Michael, Don, and the new Quincy Jones. How you guys doing?
What's going on?
Hey.
Happy New Year, fellas.
Too late. Let's go. What do you got?
Peter wanted to talk. One of Cowboy fans. I'm a big Yankee fan, you know that. But I've been a Cowboy fan since 61, 62. When Landry left the Giants as the defensive coach, my grandfather was a big fan. My father was a Browns fan, but that's another story. But I just want to tell you, I am not one of those Cowboy fans that goes crazy. I know why Peter hates Cowboy fans, and I'm not one of them. Believe me. Listen, we are not America's team. That was when Staubach and Lilly and the 70s. I'm sorry. When new ownership came along, right, everything changed with Aikman and Jones. So I just want to let you guys know, as a big Cowboy fan, do not bet on that game. If you do, take the 49ers. I'm telling you, Dak has a problem sometimes with the big games. He turns it over. And if he doesn't, watch Mike McCarthy make the stupidest move you'll ever see. He's blown two games this year and at least four last year. So I'm just telling you guys, do not take the Cowboys in this game. Well, and that's coming from a diehard Cowboy fan,
Michael.
Well,
we thank you for the advice, but I will tell you this. To say they're not America's team, they get the highest ratings of any team that's put on TV.
They may not be the America's team that you remember and that you fell in love with Roger Staubach and Tony Dorsett, but it is amazing. Honestly, as much as I hate the Dallas Cowboys, they just throw them on against anybody in the number, even relative to football, Michael, it crushes everything.
You know, we were wondering about this earlier, Peter, earlier in the week. Here he is, long gone but not forgotten, the great Griffin in Connecticut. Griffin,
hey.
Where you been?
Hey, guys, what's up? This weekend is probably the first time that I'm more excited about, even though my team's not playing, just because this is the first time where you're not really sure what team is what. Because every team has had their flaws this year, and you don't know what you're going to get. Like, we all thought for guaranteed that the Colts were going to make the playoffs, and then they had a flawed game. Teams have had their flaws at flaws times. Like, the Bills lost to Jacksonville earlier this year. So I'm not saying that the greats aren't going to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that Patrick Mahomes is just not going to have a chance. I think he does, but I just think I think we're not really sure what team is what. And I think we just got to – this is interesting to go into this weekend to have all these things of who has what, who's going to show up, what team's going to what team's going to win. It's so interesting to find out just because we haven't had a dominant team.
Now, you make some great points, but we do want to know, where have you been? We have not heard from you in a while. Where have you been?
Answer us.
I've been working a lot.
Holidays,
I got a job at Chopin' Chop in the bakery. So
love it. Good for you.
During the holidays, it was busy a lot, so I've been working. So I really haven't had any days off. I've had a day off today.
Oh, good for you, Griff. Oh,
thank
good
you for thinking
you.
Of us.
And you know what? I'm a big Stoppin' Shop fan.
Yeah, that's where I go.
I love it. Love it.
All right, Michael.
Yeah.
How could anyone get these? How could anyone get these right?
What? Get what right?
Resolve as a thorny problem.
Well, you're playing wordy or whatever it is?
Nine letters. No, this is the New Yorker crossword. Nine letters. Resolve.
I can't do it.
Resolve, comma, as a thorny problem.
Conundrum?
Is that what that is?
I don't know. Is it conundrum?
Let's see. How do you spell conundrum?
We'll be back with that.
Yeah, let's.
So the Houston Texans, 20 hours ago, right? They sent out a tweet. Thank you, Coach Cully. Really? Are you kidding me? Wait, it's like handing a rose to somebody after you fired him. Well, what are you doing? Thank you, Coach Cully? Thank you, but you're gone. Thank you, but we're going to fire you. Thank you. See you later. Clowns.
It's odd.
Jerks. Jerk store.
Yeah, the jerk store is called. They're running out of you.
Wow. Let's take a brief time out. I'm going to make a prediction about audience size. Not for our show. We're fine with that. Yeah. But this weekend with football. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
Dave Rothenberg shows that he really is a disturbed human being. Wouldn't root for the Cowboys in a playoff game if his son was the quarterback. He reiterated that today. The Giants have nobody of any blood of Dave Rothenberg on their team, but his son would be the Cowboy quarterback. He wouldn't root for them. Even if they weren't even playing the Giants, he wouldn't root for them.
I gotta tell you, he's such a bad, bad man.
My unborn children, who I've never met, I couldn't be happier to abandon Washington to root for whatever team they quarterback.
I'm the television voice of the Yankees. If Charlie pitched for the Red Sox, I'd be a Red Sox fan. And you know what? Hal Steinbrenner would probably understand it.
The Michael K. Show.
Something's wrong with him.
It's a lot of things. It's not just one thing.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You know, we joke, we make fun, but it's disturbing. It really is. All right, so I think if you look at the forecast for this weekend in the Northeast, it's going to be record low temperatures. People are not leaving their home. These are going to be some of the highest rated games in the history of the NFL. They just are. Why would people leave their house? And what else is on of any import? I can't wait. I wish there were earlier games on Saturday. Is that wrong?
No, I like it, I think, how it is. I think this is right. I think they have it just right. This is a beautiful lineup. Now, you could lose the Monday nighter and get the early one Saturday.
No, yeah. I want the Monday nighter.
See, I'm with Peter. I'll be happy when we get there. But having three on Saturday, three on Sunday, that'd be nice.
Although, it's kind of nice, Don, I would think for you guys with kids, it at least gives you that morning Saturday all the way up till 4 o'clock. You're not even watching. And let's be honest, you're probably not going to watch the start of Raiders-Bengals. So you don't really have to really get in until like dinner time and then beyond. It's kind of convenient.
So this was just tweeted out. Peter would know if it's true.
I know.
Kanye has a new song that has a verse. Did you see this, Peter?
Kanye?
Yeah.
He dropped a new song already?
God save me from that crash so I could beat Pete Davidson's.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I tell you one thing. You know, no matter what happens with Kanye, his ability to be entertaining, no matter how I may feel about him at different times. I mean, that's entertaining if nothing else. God save me from that crash so I could beat Pete Davidson's ass. That's a bar?
Yeah.
Where are you seeing this? How did I not see this yet?
It was tweeted out by Barstool. I guess it looks like a legitimate tweet. And Mikey Mike just retweeted it out, so that's why I saw it.
Oh, I guess he dropped a song with The Game last night at midnight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got it.
Why blame Pete Davidson? That's what I'd like to know.
Why what?
Why blame Pete Davidson?
Well, I don't know if it's about blame. You're being literal.
But I think he probably is angry at Pete Davidson. What'd Pete Davidson do?
Do you need me to spell it out for you?
Well, blame his wife.
But
he's my friend.
That line wouldn't work as well.
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't.
I think you just go with this one.
I'm sorry, I missed everything. I don't know.
Pete Davidson
is dating Kim Kardashian, the ex-wife of Kanye West, or Yee. Yay.
Yay, not Yee. You can't say Yee. Got to say yay.
Then he should spell it Y-A-Y.
I got to hear this. Hold on.
Oh, you've got the beat? You've got the bar, as they say? Now, the silence doesn't do well.
I was playing on my computer. It sounds like this clip has been, like, ripped. It's not even, like, a good quality version of it yet, but, yeah, it appears to be something.
All right, so let's talk.
You're on the pulse, Michael.
I know. Let's talk about the cold. Bill Belichick said not worried about the cold.
We've practiced, you know, in just about everything we could, you know, any type of conditions we could have, and played in quite a few as well. So there's no way to turn the temperature down or up or anything else. It is what it is out there. And I think over the course of the year, we've dealt with, again, most everything.
Now, Bill Belichick's 69 years old. Now, you're going to laugh. You're going to both laugh at me. So if I was the coach of a team and I was 69 years old and it was 0 degrees out, I'm going to say, guys, I'm going to do this from upstairs, all right? You have a good game. Remember the cold game? What was it, the last game ever outdoors in Minnesota, Don?
Right.
And Bud Grant, like 96 years old, came out in shirt sleeves?
Yeah. That's incredible how some guys, and you still see, like, linemen, you know, with short sleeves. I guess it's all in the mind, but I don't know. It's,
you know, I'm going to tell you
so
something.
It's so uncomfortable.
I wonder if either of you guys feel like this. I don't get cold anywhere but my head. I could go out without a coat or with, like, shorts on in, like, 0 degree weather. I don't think I'd be, like, any colder. Just my head gets cold.
My issue, hands and feet. Like, everything else, I'm okay. Like, if I've gone to a Giants game and it's freezing outside, or if I'm just out for whatever reason in the cold, first thing to go for me, hands and feet. Everything else I can kind of live with. Even the face, the head, whatever, even if I don't, because I guess I got a lot of hair. But the first to go, and it makes it difficult, is hands and feet. So, like, even if you have gloves on, Michael, the gloves that they wear aren't really meant for keeping your hands warm. They're helping you try to catch the football.
I'm just amazed at, like, the offensive linemen that come out without sleeves.
Take some Viagra for the game, baby.
All right, so this was Bart Scott talking about take some Viagra. So here's Dawson Knox of the Bills, and he talked about that.
I've heard that Viagra can actually make you test positive for PEDs. I think there's something in there that'll pop you positive and make you miss four games. So in order to do that, I would need a prescription. I do not have a prescription. So therefore, I will not be trying that out.
I mean, Viagra very literally is a performance-enhancing drug.
True.
And now, I don't think it pops a positive. That's not what it does.
Now, I need to be, like, careful here, but it had been suggested to me that you could use Viagra without needing it to make things even more fun.
Just for sport, you mean?
Right.
Right.
But the person that told me this, who did this on a regular basis, says, after a massive headache.
Is this your brother? Are you talking about your brother?
No, my brother's got the Kevorka, and he also doesn't care.
Does the Kevorka extend to that too? I don't know if it's
the Kevorka is it's the caring of. Listen, it's I don't want to get into it, but
yeah,
I don't know if I'd what if you were to take it, but then like in the fourth quarter you get a massive headache
or a massive other thing.
Listen, Lauren obviously knows what he's doing.
Really?
So I guess, but this just I don't think they should be doing this.
No, they shouldn't be. It's not what the drug's about.
Listen, there are heaters. This has happened before. Everyone's going to be okay. Bart, I salute you for saying something that created such a stir. But are we really taking this seriously? Listen, you wear a jacket on the sideline. You have a heater. You go out and play, okay? Dick Butkus didn't have to take erection pills. And that would have been a real mouthful, okay? He didn't – wait, hold on. He didn't have to do that. You don't have to either, okay?
Well, because the adrenaline, it's not an issue when you're playing. You're not thinking about it, and you're the blood's
how
flowing
you
just
not,
from the adrenaline.
How could you not be thinking about being absolutely freezing cold? Even if you're playing.
No. Listen, I'm not going to tell you that I played at the level that an NFL player played. But whenever we'd go out and play in the snow or whatever, you're concentrating on the game, and you're not really thinking about it. When you're sitting on the sidelines, then you start to get cold because you're not doing anything. But when you're out there and you're running, you're worried about where you're supposed to be, it's not – like I said, the hands would be a problem because you're trying to catch the football or trying to tackle. And if your hands are numb and frozen, that can be very difficult. Footing, obviously, is a problem. But as far as them, like, shivering, not shivering, they don't – they've got – that's a mind over matter.
Now, before we go to the phones, Anthony Greek, our producer on the Yes Side, just sent me a halftime prop released on Covers. Which way would you bet this, Peter?
Go ahead.
It's plus 255. Will Snoop smoke on stage?
I would bet against that.
Interesting.
Snoop, it's actually a really good bet, although it won't pay out that great, but betting against it. I mean, Snoop does so many things. You know, he's like a – Snoop's like Betty White. He's just like America. Like, he's not smoking weed on TV every day.
Now,
in real life, I would absolutely bet that Snoop's smoking in any situation, but not on stage.
Let's go to Danny in Long Island. Danny.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How's everything going?
Good. You?
Good. I survived the epic Sunday night almost tie. I was at peace with myself that I was going to end in a tie. I was in stage four of a terminal illness. I thought I was going to end in a tie. Ben would go off in a winner. And, Peter, I was not halfway to Pittsburgh demanding. I was actually at the JFK airport trying to get a flight to demand. But anyway, got a little list here together, man. I wanted you to think about it. We have 12 quarterbacks about to take the field.
We do.
I put them in a couple of categories, okay? We have three people that have nothing to prove their status is cemented, regardless of what happens this weekend. Ben, Tom, and Mahomes. Can we agree to that?
Yes.
Okay. Then we have three people that have overachieved this year, and it won't go either way, depending on what happens. Burrow, Matt Jones, and Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. Have overachieved, regardless of the outcome of the game. They're beyond the same team next year. They're going to be the starting quarterback.
Maybe. Okay. At least Jalen Hurts.
Then we go to five quarterbacks that have a lot on the line. These are your level threes. They've been good, successful quarterbacks. I don't believe any of them have won a postseason game. Allen, Carr, Stafford, Dak, and Murphy. Murray, for Arizona. All of them have been around for a couple of years now. They've all been in the fray. They need to step up and have a serious run in the playoffs to cement their reputation. Maybe get them to that level one tier, as we always say at the beginning of the season.
Well, I would put Murray more in the Burrow category than I would put him in this category.
Yeah, me too. Murray's
he's
just
still a
young
quarterback.
Now we have the guy that has the most on the line. Now we have the guy with the most on the line who will not be on the same team next year and literally has a contract at stake. And that would be one Jimmy G, who is much maligned. If he could go on a playoff run, and the San Francisco 49ers are already committed to going to this youngster next year, think of the amount of money that is at stake for Jimmy G by coming out on the road, playing well, beating the Cowboys, And if they get past the Cowboys, that's a team that who else is going to beat them? They are a solid team. Jimmy G is much maligned. If he has a run, that guy writes his ticket any way he wants, sign the check, anything he wants.
That's a good point. That one right there, that's a really good point in terms of how the value for Jimmy G. It's interesting because you'd think that after all these years, people have enough of a body of work on Jimmy G. But guys, just even for us on this show, I'm willing to say you guys feel the same way I do. I don't feel I fully know whether he's really good or not.
He has taken a team to a Super Bowl, though.
Yeah, but Jared Goff has.
No, I think if he was a free agent, he'd make decent money, and I think Garoppolo is making decent money, whether he loses or not this
weekend. Yeah, but they're still, they drafted a quarterback. He doesn't seem to fit the system they want. He can make a lot by going out there and making a run.
Now, here's an interesting thing. What if he makes a run and takes the 49ers to the Super Bowl and is a free agent? There's one coach who loves him, and that's Bill Belichick. Because I think there's a limited ceiling to Mac Jones. I think that what they ask him to do, he's phenomenal at. Can he take a team to the next level? Garoppolo and Belichick loves him. He was forced to trade him. Forced. Would he take him back and tell Mac Jones, you know what? You'll be a backup.
Listen, with the amount that they did this year with Mac Jones, it's pretty unreasonable to even consider going in a different direction.
See, but I'm going to tell you why I believe that, Peter. Did they win because of Mac Jones, or did he? I mean, you talk about game managers. He's a game manager. Yeah. He's one of those rookies that just doesn't make mistakes, but he's not driving you down the field, I believe, in the last 2 minutes, you know, hitting, you know, throwing dimes down. I just don't see it. He's not that guy.
No, that's true. But he doesn't seem, not yet.
Or was it, hey, this is how I think I can win with a rookie quarterback? And he might not always be this way.
Maybe.
You know, but he felt like I wanted to win. I got a rookie quarterback here. I got a team that's good enough to win. Don't mess it up, kid. But as he starts to get older and more mature, then maybe he'll turn into being great. And then you can rely upon him. But I'm not going to put that much pressure on Kyler Murray. What is this, again, like his third year?
And also, why are you putting pressure on Josh Allen? He played in the AFC Championship game last year. He's an MVP candidate.
Yeah, if Josh Allen has a bad outing and they lose, then next year, if they're in the playoffs again, people will go, okay, Josh, time to show us something. I don't think the pressure is there this year. And listen, this is not like the Bills or the team they were in week 5. They're getting into the playoffs. They ended the season nicely, but Don, you know, down the stretch, this has not been a special team.
No, but I do think a poor performance at home. You just won the division. You're home. You lose to a wild card team and a rookie quarterback. I know it's Bill, but still, I can understand coming up short of the Super Bowl. I'm not saying he's got to win a championship, but to lose his first playoff game, I think that'd be a little tough. Not the end of the world. I'm not giving up on him. He's not Baker Mayfield in Cleveland,
who they're bringing back, by the way. They say,
yeah. But
that's how rare quarterbacks are. They're bringing him back. Let's go to our good friend Milkbone in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Milkbone, how's the baby?
The baby's great. The baby's probably bigger than you right now.
Big baby.
Yeah, no, but everything's great. Everything's lovely with the family. But good. I got a perfect scenario with the Cowboy and 49er situation. And number one, our kicker better kick straight. That's first.
Okay.
And number two, all we got to do is play football. We stop the rush and we rush. Run the ball and stop the run. That's always that's obvious, and we're perfectly capable of doing that. But I'm caught in a real situation that hopefully you guys can help me out with, because my wife that I'm watching the game with is a 49er fan.
Mm. Right,
and she knows that I'm really serious when it comes to the Cowboy games, and I start throwing things when a dumb play is called, and so I'm either going to start slamming crap or I'm not going to. If we win, I'm not going to get hoochie coochie for a month. If I lose, I'm going to break stuff. Well, I don't know what to do.
So it's lose lose.
Well, I would suggest you watch in different rooms.
Yeah.
But also, I don't want to get in your wallet, but it's you and your wife, right? You don't have like an au pair or a nanny or anything, right?
Yeah, but even her mother-in-law knows that she don't even want to watch the game when I'm around.
No, I'm just saying that when you have a newborn, you're lucky you see the game.
Right.
Now, I mean, one of the two of you might have to get up and who knows what's going to be happening. So,
What are you raising the little bone as? Is it a 49er or a Cowboy fan?
Oh, she's all Cowboys.
All right. So your wife's outnumbered.
All of them. All of them.
I think she knew what she's getting into. I think everything's going to be fine.
Are you nervous about this game? Are you nervous about this game?
I wouldn't say I'm. Actually, I'm not. I'm more concerned about the strategy that we're going to come with. That's the only thing I'm concerned with, because every game has a strategy, especially now. This ain't just a regular game. It's playoff time, and we got a reputation for not performing in the playoffs. So let's do it now. So it all depends on what. Well, number one, obviously is Dak. Number one.
You can't hide Dak. And, I mean, I know you want to run the football with Elliott, stop the run and all that, play it's old school, right. But at some point in the playoffs, your quarterback's got to play. You can't hide him. He's going to have to. There's going to be a 3rd and 7. He's going to have to make a completion. He's going to have to. Your quarterback's going to have to step up and play well.
We have to score points. We put points on the board, even if they put points on the board. Let's make sure we keep putting points on the board.
I mean that, but Milkbone, that's from the theater of the obvious. Every team has to put points on the board.
Listen, this is a really good defense. Both teams are good defenses, but I think the running game comes into play when you're trying to protect that lead. At some point, Prescott's going to go out there and he's going to have to play well. And I think if he plays well, they win. Because I have faith in this Cowboy defense.
That's the piece.
That it's a difference maker. And I think they can turn Garoppolo over. And then you can get a lead, and then you can run Elliott until the cows come home, and then you win the game. But Prescott's going to have to play well, and if he does with this defense, I think they'll be okay. Okay, I'm not disrespecting the 49ers; they're good, and they've won some big games down the stretch. But they're not blowing you out. And I don't know how many points they're going to score against this defense. And if I'm apt to think of what defense is going to turn you over, without having stats in front of me, just watching the Cowboys, they'll get theirs.
Let's go to Julian in Toms River. Julian.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I'm going to ask Don, since she's a Giants fan here. Don, if you get hired as a Giants GM, would you want your own quarterback? Or do you keep Jones for next year and see how it goes from there?
Like, you're going to have to trade for that quarterback, right? So if you decide I want to keep these picks, I want to start building, if we are indeed going to strip it down, guys, I do not give him the fifth-year option. I bring him back and see what he can do in that fourth year. I need to see it for my own eyes. Be healthy for 17 weeks. Go out there and play well. Now, how well you can play if they strip it down is another question, but if I'm a general manager and want to evaluate, there's no way I can look at Daniel Jones and say, he's my quarterback. I need to use this fourth year to find out if he's the guy. I do not give him the fifth-year option, but I don't necessarily throw him away either.
Now, speaking of the Giants, somebody who should know had a very telling statement about Saquon Barkley. We'll talk about that. Take your phone calls, 1-800-919-3776, when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
The great Barry Sanders came out and said you cannot build a team around Saquon Barkley.
I think he came in looking the part, but if you're saying, okay, currently, right now, I don't think he's proven to be that kind of player.
He makes me scratch my head because I thought he was going to be great. I'm just caught in this vortex of, is he a disappointment or is he simply a guy who, A, has been hurt, that's obvious, and B, hasn't been used the right way. I don't know. Now, I think we'd all agree, picking a running back with the second pick is folly, but they did it. So now, is this guy a good player or not?
You know he can do it on the NFL level, just can he do it at an elite type of level? Between health and how poor the offense was, almost zero quarterback play, the jury to me is still out.
The Michael K. Show.
Kanye West, or Yee. Yay.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, big NFL weekend. We're excited about it. There's so many layers to this, and we have our own, you know, pick competition that's tooth and nail, nail-biting time. We just can't wait. Can't wait for the weekend. Six big games. All of us have to pick three of them. Also, a little-known fact, at least we're trying to keep it on the down low, DiPietro and Rothenberg are one game behind us.
Uh-oh.
And if we don't get serious real soon, it's over. Not going to be good. We don't lose to them. We don't lose to a man who would root against his son if he played for the Cowboys. That's not what we want.
We haven't put as much thought because it's usually like, oh, what do you want to do, guys?
This week follows that.
No, but the problem is they're at such a distinct advantage because they make their picks and then they can decide what they're going to do. Like they could take forever. Like their show's over at 8 o'clock in the morning and then they don't have to come on until almost 6. So they got literally 10 hours to contemplate. We can't talk about it because we don't want to let our picks known until we get to 5:45. Then we have like literally seconds to think about it, and we're still beaten.
That's a great point.
So I mean, so what do we do about it? But especially now in the playoffs, we got to keep our picks secret. So I don't know what we do. But that's it.
Well, by the way, if we, as I said earlier, if we just sent our picks in and Andrew had the picks, we could talk as freely as we want. You don't have to announce them all one by one, but we don't have to worry about them being taken either.
Yeah, I got to send mine in.
Yeah, I'm going to do it now. Enough's enough.
All right, so here are the games. Let's revel in them. You've got the Raiders at the Bengals. That starts it off. The Bengals in week 11 beat the Raiders 32-13. But it was 16-13 in the fourth quarter. And then the Raiders started to turn the ball over, which they do a lot, and they get penalized a lot as well. Joe Burrow has been great. Joe Burrow has been unbelievable. He completes 70.4% of his passes. The only problem with Joe is he does get sacked. He's been sacked 51 times, so you know that Crosby and Ngakoue are going to be very, very important to this game. But a lot of the nation seems to be leaning Bengals on this. I don't know what you guys are thinking.
Well, they've been the darlings all year. And I've said this a couple of times. I'll say it again. When it seems like everybody's figured out the Bengals, they come up with a stinker like they did against the Jets. Remember, like, are they ready for prime time? The Raiders have nothing to lose. This season kind of came out of nowhere. After John Gruden was let go, it looked like, all right, their season's going to be over. And they've answered every bell, including Sunday night, guys. On the road, great quarterback, and they found a way to win the game.
And they were, yeah. They were up by 15, so they actually were winning comfortably until a late comeback.
Right, because I still don't think they're a great team, but they're on this magic carpet ride. So it's a scary game to pick because I do think Cincinnati is the better team, but just be careful of this team. They still have a lot to learn, and I there's a little bit of not much to lose because, really, are you going to kill – the Raiders, if they lost this game,
that's the thing. That's why I'm staying away from it. And I should have picked the Raiders last week. I'll probably never get over it.
No, you shouldn't.
But I did rock with the Raiders a bunch this year. It just, Don, you just said it right there. That's exactly what I was thinking. Haven't they done enough? Wouldn't this, if they lose in round one in Cincinnati, that's not looked at as a disappointment. They exceeded all expectation.
Well, the only thing that this game does, it maybe gives Bisaccia and Mayock, if they win, a chance to keep their jobs. If they get knocked out, I think it's overall a successful season with everything they've gone through, but you probably have a new coach and a new GM. But if they keep winning,
I got to tell you, though, why?
Because I think that Mark Davis wants a big-time coach. I don't think he looks at Bisaccia that way.
That's so
and if
stupid.
You look at Mayock, how to work with the last big-time coach. Some of Mayock's picks have been awful.
Some have been great though. They've actually developed a few good players. Yeah, they've also, as we know, drafted some problem children. But I got a question for you. If you're the Raiders, how'd it work last time? The big name coach, you got the biggest one available, literally the biggest free agent coach in history.
Well, but he built a pretty nice team. But it turned out to be a nudnik.
Well, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the show? I mean, the most embarrassing implosion in coaching history, perhaps.
Listen, if you were gonna, if this was just going to be the inevitable with both of them, and you're gonna fire them at the end of the season anyway, But if this was actually an audition, how did they didn't pass it already? You know, especially the coach. I mean,
also,
a lot of adversity they faced, and they're in the playoffs, and you're gonna throw that all away, a loss on the road to a better team.
Also, I really enjoy saying bisaccia, and
yeah.
It sounds like delicious ingredients in like an Italian recipe. Add a little mayoc, a little bisaccia. Sounds delicious.
Oh yeah, that little bread with the tomato chunks.
So
on
yeah,
it. Like
they call it mayoc and bisaccia.
Yeah. You got the Patriots and the Bills. This is the game that intrigues me. It's going to be 0 degrees in Buffalo, and strangely enough, about this Buffalo team. I mean, they play in Buffalo, and they're not a good cold weather team. They're just not. Josh Allen becomes a 50% passer in under 32 degrees. Well, it's going to be 32 degrees under 32 degrees. It's going to be zero. But he can run the ball. He's going to run the ball. Wow. So he's their biggest running threat. And the thing that Bill Belichick is good at, Don and Peter both know this, he's going to take away your best thing. So if he's going to get beaten by Josh Allen running, he's not going to allow Josh Allen to run.
Listen, I'm guess what? I'm breaking the rules. I don't care. You guys do what you want. This is my 3-point game, okay? And I could get it wrong. And Don, if I get it wrong, I'd bet it again next week. Because the bottom line is, I got it wrong last time. I took Buffalo in Buffalo on that Monday night game that turned out, of course, to be the weather game we didn't know about on Friday when we made the picks.
That's true.
But even if I get it wrong, yeah, there's a chance Belichick fails here. But, guys, he lives for this. This is what Bill Belichick does. An incredibly high-pressure situation for an opposing young team. Crazy weather that changes the circumstance of the game. He lost the division to the Bills, which you know is in his craw. He is sitting there. He has been waiting for this moment. You guys remember how proud he was after that last Monday night performance? It was one of the joys of his life. So, listen, it's hard to do it twice. Maybe it won't work out and we'll get it wrong. But how do you go against Bill Belichick in the spot?
I would agree with you. I think it's tough to make the pick the other way, although the Bills are a really good team.
They are.
Again, the fact that they're the Buffalo Bills and they can't play in cold weather, that to me is fascinating.
I understand where you're coming from. Bill is an amazing coach. It's hard to pick against him, but the Bills are just a better team. And I know there's biases, right? But you know, Buffalo is with Josh Allen just, you know, 2-2 in the postseason, and you know they've kind of been a disappointment. How they play under 32 degrees and all that stuff, and it's Bill Belichick and. Who's the better team? Who has the better quarterback? I mean, this is a Patriot team that won in Buffalo, and look what they had to do to make it happen. And then when they played in New England, the Bills wiped the floor with them.
Listen.
So I think you get a little too caught up. I know it's Bill, but, you know, Bill's lost playoff games. He's 4-4 on the road in playoff games.
Do you know this is
the wild card?
He's had more playoff games than any coach, Don. This is the first wild card game he's ever played on the road.
Yeah, because you know they're comfortably winning their division. I mean, who has won the division besides Miami and recently New England in all the time that Bill's been there, right? I mean, they routinely win the division.
Listen,
which gets you a chance to be at least, even if you play Wild Card Weekend, it's going to be in New England.
Don, you made a series of salient points, and they have been a better team over the last month. You know that the Bills have been a streaky team. They were fantastic. After week one, that surprising loss to Pittsburgh, they were fantastic. And then the middle part of the year, they of course lost to the Patriots, lost to the Bucs, got blown out by the Colts, lost to the Jaguars. So this is not a team that shows up every Sunday. But listen, I feel you. I am rolling the dice with Bill Belichick. And maybe this is the time when I go, well, that's it. It's the end of the line. And it's funny because I love Belichick this weekend and don't love Brady.
You know what you're doing? You know what this pick is, Peter? Hmm. And I'm not making fun of it.
Go ahead.
It's a comfort food pick. It's stew. Like, I could do better than stew, but I just know it's going to be good. It's going to warm me. I'm not going to be disappointed with my decision to order stew.
No, it's pot pie. I'm getting a chicken pot pie.
Yeah, I mean, it's a comfort food. It's just that, you know what? I know I can do better. I know I can do better.
Now, here's the thing.
But I can do a lot worse. But listen, it's the same with the quarterbacks, right? Like, pick Rodgers, pick Mahomes. You know, it's so much easier to root for points when you have those quarterbacks on your side. You know, picking Bill Belichick is – you're not going to regret that. You're not going to look back and go, how did I pick Bill?
All right, let's move on to the next game, Eagles at the Bucs. This is Tom Brady's 46th playoff start. His first playoff game was in 2001 when Jalen Hurts was 3 years old. Just a little nugget right there. But they lost to the Bucs, the Eagles, at 28-22 in week six. But it's a different team. You know, they were throwing the ball then. Now all they do is run the ball. Jalen Hurts led all quarterbacks 784 rushing yards. The Bucs defense has a reputation of being tough against the run, but it's not actually so. The last couple of times they've been pretty mediocre. They're kind of 12th in a defensive metric that I follow against the run. But the Eagles are bad defensively overall. So that's going to be interesting. The one thing that they do is that they get after the quarterback, but the Bucs have the great offensive line. I think they have three Pro Bowlers on their offensive line. So this is a fascinating game to me. I have the number 8.5, but we'll see. Does Tom Brady beat the Eagles? And Don's brought this up a number of times. They won the Super Bowl last year, but they squeaked by the first three games. I mean, they were all in doubt. They didn't blow anybody out. This is a big number. But do you believe in the Eagles? You can say the Eagles just sneaked in, but do you believe in them? That's what you have to decide when you make the pick on this game.
I mentioned this early this week. How are they any different than Washington? The difference is the game was in Washington last year, and it's home this year. But it was like, how is Taylor Heinicke going to be playing against Tom Brady? Give me a break. They're going to wipe the floor with them, and it didn't happen. Tom won the game. The Bucs won, but it was a struggle. Philadelphia team can control the clock, run the ball. I don't think they can win, but 8.5 is a big number. High winds, thunderstorms likely, so it might be a low-scoring game.
If it's Don, if that's the case, if we get the high winds and thunderstorms, you basically like take everything away. Home field is gone all of a sudden, right? It basically means nothing because the crowd is muted. It's just not quite the same thing. And any sort of dominance you get at quarterback play, that's gone. They already lost someone who we knew would be a key factor for them if they were to be in the playoffs in Antonio Brown, plus Chris Godwin. So this is not, I don't know. I feel like that line, Don, if it was anyone but Tom Brady, and I know other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, but if it was anyone but Tom Brady, I feel like this line is 4.5 this week, not 8.5.
Well, how about this, though, Peter, along those lines? They've had the Eagles' defense had 9 defensive performances all season that qualified as above average in terms of expected points added. I'm getting this from a story in The Athletic.
Okay.
The starting quarterbacks in those games, Jake Fromm, Jared Goff, Matt Ryan, Sam Darnold, Teddy Bridgewater, Trevor Siemian, Taylor Heinicke, Mike Glennon, and Garrett Gilbert. Possible one of those quarterbacks could be starting in the NFL. That's a big jump for Tom Brady.
It is. But the Eagles, it's another thing. These seasons are long. If you look at what they did in weeks 1 through 9,
right,
and then you look at them since then, they have lost 2 games since what Andrew?
They're 7-2 over their last 9.
7-2 over the last 9. Now some of those were ugly wins over Washington, New York, etc. Beat up
one
on
of those
the Jets.
Losses was a give up too. Don't forget that.
Or no, you know what? 7-3. I wasn't. Okay. I don't think I was including the giveaway.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. In the next game, 49ers at the Cowboys. That's Sunday at.
Okay. One last thing about Michael. I'm sorry. 20-30 mile per hour winds expected Sunday.
Tom Brady spits in the wind.
No, but well, what does Steve Young say? That's the one thing. Wind is different than snow and rain. Wind is different. Go ahead, Michael. I'm sorry.
Wind was what changed that Buffalo-New England game. It was just the temperature. They couldn't throw the football.
All right, we've got the 49ers at the Cowboys. That's 4:30 on CBS Sunday. That's a 3-point difference right now with the Cowboys as the favorite. Jimmy G, the key with Jimmy G is he doesn't throw a pick. He's 7-0 this year when he doesn't throw an interception. He's 2-6 when he throws one. Now he's got to avoid Trayvon Diggs, who has 11 interceptions. Also, the Cowboys are 10-3 against the spread as a favorite this year, 6-3 against the spread against teams with a winning record. This is a fascinating game. It really is. It's a true toss-up game. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not touching this one. I'm just not. Seems like the whole world's on the 49ers, which would lead me to believe I'd go with the Cowboys if I had to pick it. But this is a tough game to prognosticate.
No, it is, because the Cowboys are, even though those stats tell you that they usually cover, you know, there's a team at home that lost to Arizona. Now, Arizona's a good playoff team, but still is baffling. People thought that Prescott was over the hump when he scored 56 points against Washington, but that was a COVID-riddled team. And since then, it still appears that he's not right yet, though the stats of the regular season show you that he's an elite quarterback. But the pressure he is going to be under is going to be enormous. His owner expects to win the Super Bowl. It's a wide-open conference that the Cowboys could very easily win with that defense. I said it before, and I'll say it again. I can't imagine he plays well and they lose. So it's all on him.
Next game, Steelers at the Chiefs. This is an intriguing matchup. 12.5 points. The Chiefs are the favorite. I'm not sure if that's exactly our number. We'll take a look. Mahomes owns the Steelers, by the way. Owns the Steelers. A quarterback rating of 91.9 in his career. In his last two games, Mahomes, 9 touchdowns. He does not have an interception. This was a matchup in Week 16. The Chiefs are up 30-0 early in the third quarter. They end up winning 36-10. So how do you – tell me, guys, how do you make a case for the Steelers?
I don't know how you do it.
Now, Tomlin's teams in his 15-year career have covered the spread 63.8% of the time as an underdog.
But
Andy Reid's teams have covered just 43.6% of the time as double-digit favorites in his entire career.
They're terrible in that spot. But we've talked about this ad nauseum, but they're not good in that spot. If I was picking that game, which I'm not, I'd probably rock with Pittsburgh.
See, if I was picking it and I decided not to as we went on the show, I would have grabbed Kansas City.
That's the only thing, is that Kansas City sometimes in these spots, big spread, they don't cover. But again, just like Bill, I think you're kind of going on reputation with Tomlin and Roethlisberger. I just don't think this Steeler team's very good. They had an 8% chance of making the playoffs in Week 1. This is essentially a non-playoff team that happened to sneak in. I give him credit because I look at the way Ben played. I look at where he is in his career. I look at that team and I say they probably should have finished under 500. So kudos to both of them for making it work. But you're going up against, I think, the best team in the AFC on the road. I think this potentially has a chance to just not be good for Pittsburgh.
They're an interesting team, though, right? They just got beat by the Chiefs handily, lost by 26 points a few weeks ago. But over the last half of the season, guys, they 2 wins over the Ravens, beat the Browns a couple of weeks ago, beat the Titans 19-13, hung with the Chargers, but lost 41-37. They're an interesting team. It seems like they often play to competition, and it could be Big Ben's last game. That's why I'm just staying away from it, Don, because you don't want to root against Kansas City. I'm not going to sit there and actually pick Pittsburgh, so I'm having to pray that Patrick Mahomes doesn't kill me. But at the same time, I worry about Kansas City, A, covering big spreads, and B, Ben coming up with magic in what could be his last game.
All right, the final one, Monday Night Football. ESPN has a great game, a wild card game. It's the Cardinals and the Rams. Rams, 4-point favorites. The Cardinals have lost 4 of their last 5 games, and they will not get back DeAndre Hopkins for this game. And defensively, the Cardinals gave up 431 yards and 38 points to the Seahawks last week. Now, it comes down to, I guess, do you think Matthew Stafford is great? If you think he's great, they should run away with this. Just in terms of the amount of talent they have on this team, their defense is good. They've got a lot of weapons for Stafford. What do you believe in Stafford? And do you believe that Murray could carry this team alone into the end zone? Now, what's interesting is the Cardinals are 8-1 on the road.
Unreal. Think about that.
Will their fans travel? Because it seems like you get into SoFi Stadium. I'm not touching this game either, guys. But if I did touch it, it would be the Rams.
Well, like you said, 8-1 on the road, including a win in Dallas against the Cowboys. They met in week early in the season, and the Cardinals crushed them. So, and that is when Murray played well. It really comes down to what quarterback do you think is going to play well. Now, Murray's got pressure. He's never been in this spot before, but I think of the pressure Stafford's under. He was brought here to help this team win a championship. Not win a playoff game, win a championship. He's never won a playoff game. Matter of fact, he's got an awful record against winning teams. He's been such an enigma. So think of the pressure. There's pressure on Prescott, but the Cowboys, that's their quarterback. They really didn't have another choice. The Rams traded away a guy that got them to the Super Bowl and the playoffs last year. Albeit, you know, in an injury-plagued year, I think they made the right decision. I think Stafford is a better quarterback than Goff, but they brought him in to lead this team to the promised land. And imagine losing at home in the first round. So the pressure is going to be immense on him. I'm not sure there's much pressure on Kyler Murray. I disagree with Danny from Long Island. If the Cardinals lose, it'd be like, all right, you know, it's a third-year quarterback. You know, we think he can be better. Stafford loses, it's like, oh, my God, what did we do? Look what we traded to get this guy. Now, he's young. He's not. It's not like it's all over. They're not going to pull the plug, but the pressure, I think, is going to be immense.
I'll tell you what, this weekend is I think it's going to be great. I don't need what Bart Scott is selling because I'm excited about this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. And I'm looking forward to Mike Tannenbaum helping us break it down. Break it down for the people. Mike Tannenbaum coming up next, and we make our picks after that. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.